This week saw the Climate Change and Business Conference in Auckland, including a rather high-profile panel discussion from Prime Minister Helen Clark and Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. To talk about the conference and climate change generally, I'm joined by the Climate Change and Business Centre's Director, Gary Taylor. Gary, how did the conference go this week?
Well, it went very well. It was the biggest we've run on that topic, and lots more sort of senior business people there rather than just the sustainability managers. And a lot more engagement at a higher level from the politicians, you know, three prime ministers and a bunch of other ministers.
Who was the third prime minister there? Because I saw Helen Clark and Kevin Rudd.
We had Gordon Brown presented a video message to the dinner, which was good.
And, I mean, to get that sort of high-level engagement, I mean, was Kevin Rudd here exclusively for the conference? Was that his major purpose in coming?
That was his major purpose in coming. We were just lucky enough to put the proposition to him in a window where he was going to be en route to Niue. And so the logistics just worked out rather well. He and Helen Clark spent an hour in a little moderated dialogue with Rod Oram. And it was extremely interesting, actually.
Would it be fair to say that Kevin Rudd's attitude towards climate change and environmental issues is different from his predecessor?
Very fair to say that. And the last conference we ran last August was in Brisbane. And in that 12-month period, Australia's ratified the Kyoto Protocol. He did that on the first day he was in office. Went up to the Bali talks and got immediately engaged in the international discussions about the post-Kyoto scenario, and has produced a white paper on Australia's proposed emissions trading scheme, which is this method of putting a carbon price into our economy to deter pollution, if you like.
Even listening to Kevin Rudd speaking, I mean, he just seems like he's miles apart from John Howard in so many areas. And, I mean, it's like the difference between, say, Barack Obama and George Bush or something almost.
Yes, it is. And I think that's actually quite a good analogy.
It must be quite reassuring for you, is it?
It is. I mean, Howard and Bush were joined at the hip on climate change policy, and now, you know, the Aussies have fallen off, and I think whatever the outcome in the US, we had US commentators at the conference, both presidential candidates are committed to action on climate change. So the world is certainly moving on.
The Climate Change and Business Centre, who puts on the conference issue, you've been doing this for about 4 years now. How have you seen the debate move forward in public attitudes and the attitudes of your speakers and the politicians change over those years?
Well, it's moved on enormously. The first conference we held in 2004 in Auckland here, we spent three quarters of the conference on the science of climate change. This one last week, we ran a short presentation, a short science update as a precursor event before the main conference started, and didn't need to have science in the program. I mean, either, you know, the business community that we're focusing on accept the science, or if they don't accept the science, they accept that action on climate change at least is a reality and they need to get with it. So, very, very significant shifts in public opinion behind all that, I think. You know, heightened public concern about the impacts of climate change, not just here, but in some of the poorer parts of the world, like, Bangladesh, 1 metre above sea level, some of our Pacific neighbours, you know, Tuvalu, 1 metre above sea level. These are some of our neighbours who are at risk, and people in the community are wanting action, and the politicians are moving as they do.
I can almost see the headlines or the titles of your conference over the years going from sort of climate change ? To, you know, climate change ! over the years. How much has the media, personally, I always think the media has really slowed down this argument because of its tradition, the media's traditional idea of always wanting to have one person saying yes and one person saying no. That's how you balance a story. And to me, it's always been misrepresenting the actual scientific opinion. Are we past that finally?
Oh, we're well past that, I think. In the last 18 months, I think we've moved past that. The climate sceptics are getting fewer and fewer, and the rebuttal of their specious arguments is getting more focused and clear. you know, there still are some uncertainties around climate change science because it's about predicting what's going to happen to the climate, which is a big, ugly, you know, complicated global system. But the last report from the UN scientists, I mean, you know, they're kind of 95% there now with their predictions. I think, you know, whatever happens, even if we can respond to the greenhouse challenge and put in policies to try to reduce carbon pollution, we're going to face climate change because of the stuff that's already built into the system. So we're going to have to get used to it.
Do you think, I mean, businesses, I mean, how, I was talking to John Key a little while ago on this program and got the sense that he said, well, look, even if it's not happening, it makes enough business sense for people to buy into it now, basically was the argument. There are enough consumers who believe it, therefore businesses should be providing to those consumers, therefore it makes economic sense to start buying into the argument, even if you don't think it's happening. Is that it?
Well, that's right, although I must say I'm a bit disappointed to hear him saying that. I'd rather he was saying, look, climate change is happening, I accept that as real, and I'm going to take a lead on it.
I think he's saying some of those words.
Yep. Well, certainly Nick Smith, who's the principal opposition spokesperson on climate change, he's completely convinced and has moved the national caucus, I think, quite a distance from where it was relatively recently, where it was in denial of the science. So I think we've got the position in New Zealand, as we have in Australia, where even opposition parties are now behind action on climate change. They'll disagree around the margins as to what that action should be and how robust the measures should be, but everybody's there now.
Last year we heard both Labor and National taking quite a green approach. Helen Clark was talking about sustainability, National were talking about 50% of emissions by 2050. That seemed to all go on the back foot quite quickly when petrol prices jumped up and mortgage rates rose and so forth. Is that disappointing to see that the first thing to go is the commitment to the environment?
Well, yes and no. I mean, in the end, I think a two-year delay in introducing a carbon tax on fuel is not going to be too material. It bothers me that they put it off for 2 years so that it will come back on the agenda again in the next election year rather than immediately after an election. I mean, these decisions are always unpopular, but I mean, you know, the important thing about climate change policy is that we have to put a price on carbon into the economy so that people that emit carbon factor that into their investment decisions and cleaner technologies become more commercially viable, like wind and solar and geothermal, and polluting ones like coal become less viable, relatively speaking. And so you've got to put a price on the economy. And that's designed to change behaviour. So there has to be some pain. Otherwise, behaviour won't change. You can certainly assist in a transition with low-income families by recycling some of the revenues that you get to help them through the transition period. But the big message from the conference was that business has the solution to climate change through changing the way it operates, changing the way it uses energy, developing new low-carbon economy technologies, and taking us from the sort of fossil fuel era to the low-carbon era. And I think that change is going to be as big a change, if you like, as the one where we went from being an agricultural economy to one based on industry, you know, at the time of the Industrial Revolution. These are big sea changes in the way that the world works.
It seems that in the environment these days, the biggest argument on a number of factors, whether you're looking at carbon, you're looking at other kinds of emissions, pollution, the biggest argument is, ironically, user pays, isn't it?
Yes, it does tend to be that, and I think we need to get over it. I think as a matter of general principle, it's far better to tax bad things like pollution than good things like income. And we need actually to shift our whole tax system around so that, there's the incentives and the disincentives are built into it for people to do the right thing.
Do you think we're moving in that direction?
Yes, we are. We are moving in that direction. In a related area of water, both water consumption and water discharges, or discharges of effluent or wastewater into streams and the sea and so on, we're moving towards pricing those things. Irrigation water has been a free good up to now, and the people that have got it have been the people that have been first in the queue to get the water rights. Now, I think we are moving towards having to price those things so that the, we're recognising that there's a property right inherent in the resource, and people ought to pay for it.
So, just finally, I mean, if there was someone out there listening that is one of the remaining climate change sceptics, perhaps someone that's seen all those stories on the media with the Brian Leylands and whatnot of this world popping up and saying it's not happening, anything that you'd point them to read, anything simple that they could go, okay, this is the proof that I need?
There's a very good publication by the Royal Society that has just come out that it deals with the eight great frauds that are perpetrated by the climate sceptics and rebuts them. I'll get them put up on our website so that people can see that. That's eds.org.nz. I mean, you know, just keep reading and watching the newspapers and, you'll get the message eventually, I think.
Oh, you'd hope so. Look, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And that website again was eds.org.nz. Coming up after the break, we hear from the LEDs.